Welcome to The Sensuous, a radical celebration of your inner sensuous creature, your feeling, humming, dancing essence that's throbbing with creative impulse, orgasmic sensitivity, intuitive wisdom, and primal wildness. The part of you that perceives with the whole of your body and is interconnected with all that is. The one who's here to not only live, but be alive. This podcast invites you to re-experience yourself as a vital organ of the greater animate world, relating to your eroticism, pleasure, emotions, and full spectrum humanness as gateways to your own divinity. I'm your guide, Nadine Hamilton, seasoned sexuality coach, somatic practitioner, intimacy educator, and lifelong student. Join me and my guests as we explore the sacred and the profane through a somatic lens, unraveling all things sex, power, mysticism, healing, and conscious relating. This is the call of the sensuous. Do you feel it? Hello, lovely people. I'm glad you're tuning into this episode because it's quite a unique one. So this is actually the recording of a recent podcast interview that I did on someone else's show. It was called Holistic Girl Talk. That's the name of the podcast, with this beautiful woman, Fernanda. And she gave me permission to reshare the conversation on my podcast, and I'm very excited for you to tune in. I went really deep into my own personal journey around shame and sexual healing and somatic healing. And yeah, you're going to get even more insight as to where exactly this work was birthed. I also talked about how physical symptoms are the body's expression of unfelt emotions and of our subconscious. You're going to learn all about psychosomatic healing and creating a true sense of inner safety and security, how your early childhood experiences determine your adult relationships and intimacy, how to practically and tangibly start exploring and reclaiming your sexuality. I give some really juicy, specific tips around that. How to forgive yourself for past choices, how to feel more pleasure in your life and feel the innocence of your sexuality, how to release intergenerational sexual shame, trauma, fear, and guilt. And you'll also learn why we relate to present day situations from contracted states of the past or trauma or constriction, and how to create more of a sense of safety, ease, and presence in your current day relationships and interactions instead of always relating from past triggers. You'll also learn how orgasms are psychedelic, how to expand your pathways to pleasure, why it can be easier to orgasm solo than with a partner, and how to open up to more orgasmic states even if you are with a partner, and so much more. I highly suggest listening all the way through because it gets juicier and juicier towards the end. So definitely let us know what you're taking away and how this episode lands for you. I always love to hear. You can send me a DM on Instagram at I am Nadine Hamilton, and also feel free to reshare this episode with your friends and family and lovers and to share it on your Instagram stories. It really makes my day to hear from you and connect in that way. Also, just a side note, the audio that I was sent for the recording, the editing is a little wonky. There are certain parts that are cut out, so just keep that in mind, but you're definitely going to get a feel for the juice and the meat of this episode is all intact. So I know you're going to get a lot out of it. And finally, very big important announcement. So the application deadline for Erotic Revival has officially been pushed back. So that means if you've had your eye on this program, you now have a bit more time to claim your spot and get yourself inside. So the next round is going to be starting in late April 2024. Your deadline to get your application in is April 23rd. So this is a 4-month somatic sexual healing and empowerment journey using erotic embodiment, conscious self-pleasure, ritual, meditation, and deep somatic exploration as tools for expansion, sexual wholeness, aliveness, vitality, and profound self-pleasure. love. This is for you if you want to activate your wildest pleasure, your orgasmic potential, embodied confidence, sensual expression, and really feel like you're in this beautiful, sacred, living relationship with your body, with your pussy, with your eroticism, and awakening to your true core erotic self. Gaining a lot of clarity on what does your true erotic self, your true sexuality look and feel like when there's no performing, there's no transaction, there's no pressure, there's no shame, there's no constriction, there's no guilt. And it's the truth of your expression, the truth of how this beautiful aspect of who you are is given full permission to be felt and explored and expressed. And this is also for you if you want your self-pleasure to feel like this sacred, ritualistic experience that you create for yourself. And it's this container to meet yourself exactly where you're at, to hold yourself with tenderness and love, to expand your pathways to pleasure and to become even more orgasmic. And that ripples out into everything. You feel more connection, more presence, more aliveness, more gratitude, more just love and turn on throughout your life. It really changes everything when you have this connection to your own turn on that you carry with you. Imagine how you walk down the street or how you make eye contact or how you approach different people or start a conversation. Just your level of openness and joy and pleasure that you embody throughout your life naturally leads to more opportunities, more connections, more synchronicities and magic and all that we're here in this human life to fucking experience. All the magic, the juiciness, the connection, the vibrancy that you are worthy and deserving of. And I've found that when we go to the places within ourselves that have been drenched in so much shame and guilt and contraction and taboo and trauma, when we go directly to those places, aka sexuality and emotions, and we're able to find divinity and love and liberation in those places, the amount of energy and vitality and connection that is freed up when we finally allow those shadowy aspects of who we are to be seen and reclaimed and owned and loved. Oh my God, it just translates into so much more openness, ease, and embodiment throughout your life. So if what I am putting down is something that you are picking up and you're wanting to get yourself inside, again, you have to apply before April 23rd. After applying, we'll hop on a free 30-minute call to connect, answer any questions, and just gain clarity on whether this journey is for you. Again, it's 4 months and it includes group sessions, live group sessions. It includes private one-on-one coaching. I don't know if this is something I'm going to keep offering in future rounds, so get on it if you know you want personalized, customized support and all eyes on you, guiding you through exactly what you're navigating and to integrate different parts of yourself that are coming up in this journey. So you get the group coaching, you get private coaching, you get lifetime access to an online learning portal, which is beautiful, by the way. And it includes guided practices, meditations, rituals, embodiment and pleasure practices, lessons, workshops, resources, all the things that you need to keep in your toolkit. And this is something you can keep coming back to again and again because you're going to have it with you for life. You also get access to a beautiful, like-minded, loving, supportive, celebratory community that is ready to cheer you on. And I've found that we can either go on journeys like this on our own and think that we have to have it all figured out and we have to do the work on our own, but it's so much more fun and also easeful and magical and supportive when we're doing it in community. And when there is a clear North Star, there's a clear intention that all of us are in devotion to. It's so different doing like private coaching versus a guided program, and each of them have their own beauty and magic within them, and everyone has their own preferences. But when you're in a group going through it together, it adds, in my experience, like this deeper level of activation, and also like having your own experience mirrored and reflected back to you. It's so powerful to feel the celebration and the support and the community and solidarity as you're navigating a healing journey like this. And also, like, if someone is sharing something that is coming up for them or something that is vulnerable that they're navigating, an experience that they're having, you're able to see yourself in their own experiences, and you're able to see and feel that their healing, their expression, their realizations are also yours. So going through an experience like this in a group just exponentially amplifies the whole experience. So I'm going to leave the link in the show notes, but it's bloomwithnadine.com/erotic revival. And I would absolutely love to welcome you inside. I can't even express fully how incredibly powerful and transformative this program is. Like, holy shit, if I had access to an experience like this many years ago, it would have changed everything. And it guides you step by step through this journey, where module one is oceanic self-love and heart opening. Module two is awakening pleasure, desire, and sensuality. Module three is sexual healing. Module four is wildness, power, and orgasmic living. And module five is sacred sexuality and energy play. And the entire course is somatic based, means we are centering the wisdom, the intelligence, the consciousness of your body, which is where the deepest aspect of your mind and your consciousness is residing. It blows my mind every single time I'm guiding a client through a somatic experience where they're able to unearth the wisdom, the love, the power, the energy that is in their body waiting for us to rediscover it. So again, this is my invitation to you. I hope to hear from you and to read your application. And without further ado, here is today's beautiful episode of The Sensuous. Enjoy.
And I bring you like such a special guest. Your mind is gonna be blown. We have Nadine here with us today. Welcome to Holistic Girl Talk.
Thank you, Fernanda. I'm always so honored and excited for opportunities to talk about these topics and go deep into this work. So I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming. Nadine is like so knowledgeable in holistic living and sexuality and like somatic healing. If you haven't heard about somatic healing, don't worry, we'll get into it because I also don't know much about it. But that's why we have Nadine here today. It's right now like 1:43 p.m. for me, like 12:43 p.m. for you.
Interesting question. Like my favorite time of the day?
Yeah.
Usually, I would say it fluctuates a lot. But as you're asking that question, the first thing that comes up is nighttime. I really love nighttime. When it's dark out and the stars are out and the moon is up. And interestingly, that's also when I tend to be able to focus the most and I get a lot of work done after the sun goes down. During the day, I have a harder time focusing.
No, why is that so true? Like, I'm the same. During the morning, I take so much time to do my morning routine, but at night, I'm, like, snatched. What is your favorite, like, thing to do at night? What would we find you doing?
Yeah, I do like to do a lot of creative work at night. And then as I'm going to bed, I like to ritualize it. And I'm very into turning spaces into like a sensual temple space and lighting candles and incense. And lighting is really huge for me. I'm very sensitive to light. So the light has to be on point. I have like my little fairy lights hanging up. But yeah, anything that activates and soothes the senses, like essential oils, having comfy pillows and blankets, and just creating an intentional space at the end of the day that feels nourishing and sensual and soothing, and I can just wind down and like ease into the transition of going into sleep time.
I completely love that. And what essential oils do you like to use? Do you use like lavender or like other types of mixtures. I don't know if there's like a special one that makes you like more relaxed at night.
Yeah, I actually have my favorites literally right next to me that I just put on. So I would say my number one favorite is ylang ylang. It's this beautiful tree that has these like yellow flowers with these long petals that like curl at the ends. And I believe it's from the Philippines originally, but I got this one in Guatemala and it just smells incredible. And it's actually really good apparently for sexuality, which doesn't surprise me, and for activating your connection like to your sacral area. And then I also have peppermint, which I don't use that much, but for me it helps to activate awakeness and alertness. Like when I sniff this, it's like boom, okay, we're on, we're going. It makes me feel activated in that way. Like it wakes me up because it's really strong. I have lavender, which to me is so beautiful, soothing, nourishing, feminine. It just has like a lightness and a softness to it for me. What else do I have? And then I have like a CBD essential oil blend that is just really calming. It has tranquility on it. And I love putting that like on my wrists, my neck, and my temple.
Oh, that's so exciting. Okay, I wanted to ask you for our first question to begin this journey. How did your journey with somatic healing begin?
Ooh, okay, big question. Let's see. So I'll also, like, since sex and intimacy and sexuality is such a huge part of my work, I'll weave that in as well. So when I was a little girl, I was very sexually curious. Mm-hmm. And I remember noticing early on, like, wow, if I am lying down on my carpet in my bedroom and I rub my body in a certain way on this carpet, something feels kind of good here. Wow, this is interesting. This is intriguing. And I just would explore my body in different ways and started masturbating at a very young age. And even though I had all of this curiosity and fascination with pleasure and all of the ways that I could touch myself and it would feel so incredible and bringing myself to orgasm, it was like, oh, like even though it was so exciting, at the same time, I also felt so much shame and guilt and disgust and anxiety. And from an early age, like every time I was exploring my body, I wasn't conscious of this at the time, but like that experience was being infused with anxiety of like, oh my God, what if someone comes in? What if someone catches me? I have to reach orgasm or get to pleasure as fast as possible so that no one finds out. And I just felt so much shame because I was raised in an environment where sexuality and intimacy, like it was not openly talked about or embraced or celebrated in any way. Like sex education at school was a fucking joke. And it was basically telling you, don't do this, and showing us the worst case scenario situations of you're going to get pregnant, you're going to get an STD or an STI, you're going to die, you're going to look like all of these horrible pictures that we're putting on this huge screen. And there was no focus whatsoever on how sex can be something that is healing and pleasurable and beautiful and therapeutic and one of the most powerful gateways to remembering our own divinity, our own power, our truth, and relating to our bodies as the incredible temples that they are. Like that was not at all part of the conversation. So the word consent was not even in my vocabulary until I went to college and I started taking classes in women's and gender studies. And those classes just cracked me open to thinking about gender and womanhood and sexuality in lots of different ways that I wasn't previously exposed to. But even so, like the messaging around womanhood and gender that I received in college, it was very focused on like women can do anything that a man can do. And it was very, it wasn't honoring like the differences between men and women and the fact that, yeah, as a woman, I can do anything that a man can do, but I don't necessarily want to. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a big, and I promise I'll get to somatic healing.
That's okay. No, we'll love this.
I feel like there is so much that the feminist movement has done for us. There's so much to honor about that and be grateful for. And like those women throughout history have paved the way for us to have a lot of rights. And at the same time, I feel like it has driven us in a direction of women trying to mold ourselves and contort ourselves into spaces that were never designed for us to begin with. Like in the 80s, putting on the shoulder pads and going to work in the corporate world. And these spaces don't honor this cyclical nature of being a feminine being or having a womb. And we are innately cyclical, feeling, sensitive, intuitive, emotional creatures. And the fact that that is such a core part of who we are, and that like spaces aren't created for that, we think there's something wrong with us because we're not fitting into the mold of how we've been told we should be. So that was kind of my mindset. And then I graduated from college and I knew that I wanted to leave the country because I was born and raised in New Jersey. And I was just so hungry to break out of this bubble and see the world. So I only applied for jobs outside of the US. I was like, I don't care what I'm doing as long as I am A, helping people in some way, and B, I get to travel and leave the country. So the first job that got back to me was a job in Costa Rica. So I was like, okay, done. I'm doing it.
Sold.
I had, at that point, I had never been to Latin America. I didn't speak Spanish yet, but I was like, I'm going. And that led to about 9 years of traveling to lots of different countries and living and working and studying and training in lots of different places around the world. But it was in Costa Rica where I synchronistically found my way in a sacred sexuality and tantra workshop for the first time. And I remember being in that first class, just like, holy shit, I knew this existed. I knew there was more to sexuality. I knew I was pulled into this world for so long. I knew that in my core, there's nothing to be ashamed of. And in fact, there's so much power and liberation to be found in this area of our lives. And that just sparked a whole journey on its own. And I ended up taking a course with that same teacher from the first workshop. I took a course with her afterwards, and that just, yeah, further cracked me open into being able to explore my body and my self-pleasure in completely new ways and redefine what I previously thought orgasm was, and it awakened my energy body. And then over time, a lot of other things happened. I had some like disempowering and traumatic sexual experiences, and I became aware that the body is its own living, conscious organism. It is this thing that we are in relationship with. And when we experience trauma, those experiences are stored in the body as tension, as contraction, as pain, as different things that we physically experience. And so it just became more evident as time went on, like, holy shit. Without getting into all the nitty gritty details, because it's a very long story, like there was this one experience specifically that catalyzed this really intense dark night of the soul that I had, where almost overnight I lost everything, like everything crumbled. I lost like the job that I was doing at the time. I lost what felt like my whole future career. I lost a relationship that I was in, my whole community. I was living in the Dominican Republic and this big thing happened and I had to fly back to the States. And suddenly, like after years and years of traveling the world and being this adventurer, I found myself like in my childhood bedroom back with my parents, crying hysterically, so depressed. I was like, what do I do with my life? And I was in so much depression and darkness that my body started to shut down. And I woke up at 3 a.m. one night and my head was like almost stuck, like down and to the left. And anytime I tried to move it, there would be this sharp shooting pain throughout my body, like down my spine and in my shoulder. And that was one of the first experiences I had of like such a confronting psychosomatic lockdown experience in my own body.
Yeah.
So it was scary, but at the same time, there is this part of myself like, whoa, this is so cool. Like, I'm having the lived experience of what it's like for my mental and emotional experience to be reflected in my body. And so I ended up healing and gaining back my mobility. I went to a chiropractor and just like did a lot of rest and inner healing work. And that experience allowed me to know what it's like for your emotions and your depression and your trauma to be stored in the body and to actually do the work to heal that and gain more openness and fluidity in the body. So I ended up just becoming even more fascinated with the body as the living entity that it is, and continued doing like different trainings and certifications so that I could help people with their sexuality, specifically in a somatic way. So instead of just doing talk therapy or psychoanalysis or, I don't know, putting someone on medications, no, like my job is to guide you to create a living, beautiful, meaningful relationship with your body, that it feels like a living relationship. It feels like something that you're in communication with, so that when your body is sending you all of these signals and nudges, you're able to become literate in that language that it's speaking to you in and take care of yourself in a really beautiful way. So somatic work incorporates a lot of different things, including like bringing your awareness to different parts of the body. It incorporates sound, breath, movement, touch, and yet like the core of it really is creating safety within yourself and feeling at home within your own body so that you can be anchored and centered within yourself and show up to life, show up to relationships, show up to sex and intimacy and work and everything that you're involved in from this place of being grounded and whole and in your power and in your center. And of course, that's not 24/7. There's going to be times where you lose touch with that, but somatic work gives you the actual tools to keep coming back to your center and to keep creating safety within yourself, because a lot of times the world does not owe us safety and it's up to us to create it within ourselves.
One of the most profound shifts happened in how I experienced life, intimacy, sexuality, pleasure, and my own body when I realized that if we truly say that we desire a life of more pleasure, then we must consciously spend more time in pleasure. Pleasure is a practice and a skill that we can learn and strengthen. And aside from a deeply relaxed nervous system, an incredibly powerful catalyst for living a life of pleasure, aliveness, connection, and embodiment is choosing to cultivate your erotic turn-on and awaken your sensuous body. How we touch, hold, express, and relate to our bodies directly reflects how we show up in our external worlds. I've now spent years working with clients on exactly this and training intensively in fields such as integrative sex and embodiment coaching, sacred sexuality and tantra, somatic healing, and intimacy education. I've now channeled all of this life-changing wisdom into my program, Erotic Revival. This four-month online somatic sexual healing and empowerment immersion is truly a journey of a lifetime, and the next cohort begins this April. I'm so excited. You'll learn to use erotic embodiment, conscious self-pleasure, ritual, meditation, and somatic exploration as tools for expansion, awakening, sexual wholeness, and profound self-love. You'll activate your wildest pleasure, orgasmic potential, embodied confidence, spiritual connection, and sensual expression. This immersion includes live group calls, private coaching sessions, a private community support space, and expertly guided lessons and practices to integrate the transformation into your everyday life. You'll put theory into practice, ensuring an experiential and embodied integration of all that you're learning as you unravel all that's been keeping you from knowing, expressing, and owning your true, authentic, erotic self. We'll journey through different modules such as oceanic self-love and heart opening, awakening pleasure, desire, and sensuality, sexual healing, wildness, power, and orgasmic living, and sacred sexuality and energy play. Applications are now open for Erotic Revival, and you can learn more at bloomwithnadine.com/erotic revival, or you can find the link directly in the show notes below. There are very juicy early bird bonuses and discounts available, so I highly recommend applying now. I would be deeply honored to welcome you inside of this truly magical and transformative container, because a woman who owns her sexuality, her body, her boundaries, her expression, her truth, and her desires is a woman who owns her life. Now back to the episode.
First of all, like, thank you so much for sharing that story of how, like, your body literally reflected your emotions, because I feel like so many of us hear, like, trauma is stored in the body, and then, like, when they were, like, extremely sad, and if we think back, it's like the day our first boyfriend broke up with us, like, and it destroyed us forever, and it still makes you sad, but, like, you never actually, like, really think about how your body is actually, like, storing the trauma, you know? And so that experience opening your eyes and, like, showing you that, like, it actually happens, and showing you how to connect and, like, listen to your body, that is just so beautiful. We were just talking about how whenever we're younger, we're, like, super open to our sexuality, and then suddenly, like, at one age, we're just like, okay, we're gonna not talk about this, this is gross, and then we grow up and we start to, like, encounter our sexuality again.
Yeah, so I have a huge fascination around the ways in which our early developmental years and childhood imprinting affects our adult relationship with our intimacy, sexuality, and romantic relationships. There's such a huge correlation. So if you reflect back on, like, what are the methods or the strategies that you used probably unconsciously as a small child to try to get a sense of belonging or acceptance from your family of origin, those same strategies tend to be what end up, like, creating struggle or blockages or challenges in your adult intimacy. So if you were a little kid and your role in the family that you took on, or that was maybe forced onto you, was being the peacemaker, the mediator, the overachiever, the perfectionist, the people pleaser, like, that same method of trying to get a sense of belonging in your family, that is what you're probably unconsciously still operating from in your romantic relationship. So I see this a lot with people who struggle maybe with orgasm, or struggle with surrendering and opening and letting go during sex, or letting themselves be truly seen, because in the past they were taught that that level of openness, that level of trusting another person or depending on another person, maybe only leads to disappointment or lack of safety or being rejected or whatever it was, being potentially shunned from the family. So we were taught at a young age that in order to access love, validation, approval, belonging, we have to, like, show up in a specific way and hide certain parts of ourselves. So that's why it's fucking terrifying for so many people to be freely liberated and open and surrendered and expressed and be the truth of who they are, because their nervous system still thinks that if they reveal those certain parts of themselves, or they even let themselves feel those aspects that live within them, they've been taught that that leads to being ostracized or being cut off from a sense of love. So much of the work now, as I was talking about earlier, is cultivating internally a connection to the infinite source of love that already exists within you, so that you can show up to intimacy, sex, and relating with another person from this place of being self-sourced, self-resourced, and truly whole within yourself, instead of convincing yourself that your access to love, safety, and belonging is dependent on this other person in front of you, because it's not. Like, our relationships absolutely can and should enhance our lives and enhance our ability to experience more love, more joy, more connection, more goodness in our lives. But our ability to access love is not entirely dependent on that other person. So yeah, a lot of the work is creating this sense of wholeness within yourself and reclaiming all of those aspects of who you are that have been pushed away into the shadows. And you have told yourself that they're bad, they're wrong, they're shameful, they don't have a place in this world. And in my experience, when we give ourselves permission to go to those dark, cringy, scary places within ourselves, it every single time leads to this awakening of more power, more ease, more truth, more congruence, because all of that energy that you were using for so many years to suppress these aspects of who you are, like, that takes a lot of energy to do that. And suddenly that's liberated and you have more radiance, more life force, and just, yeah, you're the truth of who you are.
Love that. Absolutely love that. And I agree 100% with you. The development years, if only more people knew. Everybody's like, oh, it's just a baby. Like, they won't, it doesn't matter. It's like, no, matters so much. How, like, probably so many girls are like, this sounds amazing. Like, I so wanna, like, dive into my sexuality and, like, use my sexuality to, like, get my power back and, like, my confidence and explore myself. How can somebody start exploring, like, their sexuality?
Ooh, a beautiful question. How can someone start to explore their sexuality? It starts with giving yourself permission to do so, and also acknowledging that your sexuality is yours. Like, your sexuality is not dependent on your relationship status or your sex life status or whether you are in a relationship or not. And for a lot of women, including myself, for a very long time, I related to my sexuality as something whose only purpose was to impress a man or a teenage boy at the time. When I was a teenager, I was so like, true. My sexuality exists so that this little 15, 16 year old boy, oh my God, he has to like me. He has to think I'm pretty. He has to think I'm attractive and desirable, or else I am worthless. And that was the story that I was operating from. So for a long time, my sexuality, like, it felt like something that only existed as a transaction to receive a false, fleeting sense of validation or approval. So step one in exploring your sexuality is reclaiming the fact that your sexuality is your own, and it is yours to explore. It's yours to enjoy. It's yours to become literate in. And whether you're single, whether you're in a relationship, it doesn't matter. You have full permission to explore and reclaim your body, your pleasure, like, what lights you up? What turns you on? What do you desire? So something practical that I could offer if someone is really new to this, before even going into exploring your body, I would recommend writing a letter to your body and to your sexuality, and writing a letter where, if it feels genuine for you, maybe offer some forgiveness. Like, what forgiveness are you waiting to receive from another person? What permission are you waiting to receive from another person? And can you give that to yourself? Can you forgive yourself for all of the choices that you've made in the past that maybe you wouldn't make those same choices now because you have more wisdom or more knowledge? And just write an open, honest letter to your sexuality. And in that letter, claim what you want this relationship to look like going forward. Like, put it into writing so you can see it with your own eyes and really declare it to yourself. Like, I, for example, I commit to the best of my ability, and acknowledging that it's not going to be perfect, I commit to treating my body like the beautiful gift from the universe, from God, that it is. I commit to exploring my body with the same level of care, love, attentiveness, appreciation, admiration, awe, wonder that I would hope to receive from a dream lover or partner. And can you relate to yourself with that same level of love and patience and care? So Yeah, that would probably be my first recommendation, like just write a love letter. And my second recommendation would be start to become aware of pleasure in your life. Because I work with a lot of people who come to me wanting to experience more pleasure, more orgasm, more arousal, because currently they feel maybe a sense of numbness, they feel a lack of safety, they feel just this sense of like blah, and they want to feel more alive, more turned on and connected and liberated. And instead of thinking that any of those things are outside of yourself or that it's something that needs to be added on to you or to your life, in my experience, it comes from taking things away and peeling back the layers and become aware of, instead of pleasure being this thing that is always outside of yourself that you need to find or obtain or go get, focus on like, where in this moment can I access pleasure? So as you're walking down the street, can you give yourself permission to savor the feeling, the sensation of the sun on your skin or the wind in your hair? Can you savor the sensation of placing a hand on your heart and taking a breath and feeling that breath filling up your lungs? Can you savor the sensation of your feet being planted on the earth and just that moment of connection, that moment of being held and supported by the earth beneath you? So again, it's not about like adding anything on per se. It's about letting yourself be here and be present with everything that's already here and letting yourself savor it.
We're writing love letters and we're like in the moment. Actually, that reminds me so much of a quote I saw the other day that was like, we're a pin and like time is just like passing through us. And so when we're like stuck, like thinking about what we're gonna do next, we're just like trying to unpin ourselves and like pin ourselves here. But in reality, it's just flowing. So if you go and you pin yourself here, you just lost, like you're gonna lose that moment.
Another really important piece of like sexual healing and sexual liberation is recognizing the innocence of sexuality instead of thinking it's like this thing that is so shameful and it makes you a bad person, it makes you sinful, you're going to hell, all of these stories. Like that conditioning is fucking deep. It's been thousands and thousands of years that that has been imprinted in our minds and our collective psyche and our nervous systems and our bodies. Like that is ancestral, what we're holding on to. So start recognizing how they have even found that unborn babies who are still in the womb are touching themselves. They're touching their genitals. Like it is so natural. It's so intuitive. There is this natural inclination to connect to the pleasure and the life force that is available to us. So start to recognize again the innocence of your pleasure, the innocence of sexuality, the innocence of desire, and giving yourself permission to claim all of it. And sexuality, like if you just walk around in nature, it is around you. Like the earth is pulsing with sexuality and attraction and polarity and magnetism and turn on. Like you're surrounded by it. So how could you not innately be a sexual erotic being? It's just, yeah. And redefining what that means for you. The other thing I wrote down, I love that you brought up time because I have such a fascination with time. And a lot of us were conditioned to relate to it in a really distorted way, I believe. And a huge element of trauma healing and somatic trauma healing, I like to describe it almost like time traveling, because so many of us are in relationships or we're having sex and unconsciously our bodies are stuck in a moment in the past, and we're relating to current situations from a past state of being. So if something traumatic happened in the past and our body wasn't able to complete that stress cycle, it wasn't able to release that fight, flight, freeze response, then we like lock that into our bodies, and that's how we're operating throughout our lives, from this state of tension and contraction and numbness and shutting down and shrinking and shriveling. And so it can be years and years or decades since that event happened, and we can still be having sex or being in relationships or walking around our lives from that state of contraction, because our body still thinks that we are in that scary moment of trauma that happened in the past. So when we do somatic trauma healing, it's allowing your body to catch up, pretty much. It's time traveling to the present moment, and it's showing your body a new imprint of safety and security and wholeness. And it's letting your body know that's in the past. We've released it. We're safe. We survived it. And it's now safe to open, to expand, to feel pleasure, to feel power. It's safe to do so.
Time actually doesn't heal everything. It just allows it to like set into your subconscious so that it can trigger you in the future. I love your videos on Instagram explaining everything. Like, I'm like, I love them. And I saw one that was like, many women that do not orgasm, like, don't feel like you're alone. Especially like in heterosexual relationships, they feel like they can orgasm better, like when it's only their self. And I found it really fascinating, because usually the advice I've heard is like, oh, it's always gonna be like that. Like, he is just never gonna be able to make you come or something like that. Like, especially not during sex and stuff. And I found it fascinating that you said that what you needed to do was to extend your pleasure pathways, because you're basically training your brain to like come when you're doing that specific like technique that we all have, like when we just want to come. Mm-hmm. So how can we extend our pleasure pathways?
Oh my God, this question gets me so excited, because this is like one of my top favorite topics in the whole world. Yay. And there's so much, oh my God, there's so much I could say. Let's start here. So, and it's also like, yeah, this ties in perfectly with everything we're just diving into. So every time you are pleasuring yourself, every time you're masturbating, you are training your brain and your body to experience orgasm in that way. And many people only ever touch themselves in the same way that they started doing as a kid or as a teenager. And that's kind of their go-to method. And there's no shame here. We all have our favorite go-to method.
We love
it. But yeah, like if that's the only method you're using, like that same motion or rhythm or level of pressure or area of the body, maybe it's like a clenching of a certain area or tensing really tight and then allowing the orgasm to be like this climax, this release, like it's gonna be harder and harder to experience orgasm in different ways the more you do that one same method over and over. So to expand your pleasure pathways is, it's okay, so a huge aspect of sexual healing is sexual flexibility, which doesn't mean like now you have to do splits and backbends. It means like becoming more flexible in the ways that you're able to now access the pleasure, the orgasm, the arousal, the turn on that you're able to experience. And there are infinite different types of orgasms and pleasure that you can access. A lot of us have a very narrow viewpoint of what orgasm is. We think it's kind of being in this clenching, tensing state and then reaching this climax of pleasure. And then there's like this explosion and there's the pelvic contractions. And then we go back to homeostasis. And that's a beautiful experience, but it's not all that's available to us. There's G-spot orgasms, there's cervical orgasms, nipplegasms, crygasms, ragegasms, all type elbowgasms, like you name it. And so I love to relate to orgasm through the framework that one of my teachers, Layla Martin, teaches. So it's pleasure plus expansion plus a mind state shift. And that is orgasm. And notice how that framework does not limit you to only stimulating the clitoris or only having one specific experience. As long as you're connecting to pleasure and sensation, that pleasure and sensation is expanding through your body and you have this mind state shift, you're experiencing orgasm, or at least an orgasmic state. And that mind state shift tends to be this sense of surrender. It could be a sense of bliss. It could be a sense of oneness, divinity, connection. Like, as long as there's that mind state shift, and also recognizing that that happens, like, your orgasm and your sexuality is psychedelic, truly, because it's connecting you to altered states of consciousness and reality, and different ways of perceiving and relating to your body and yourself. So going back to your question, a lot of women, the majority of women are able to experience orgasm much more, or I'll say heterosexual women, they're able to experience orgasm much more often when they're self-pleasuring and they're masturbating compared to when they're having sex with a man. And there's a lot of different reasons for that. But one of them, like I was just speaking on, is if we only have one habitual go-to method for experiencing orgasm, again, it becomes harder to experience that in different ways. So when there's another human in the picture and you're having sex with them, a lot is going to come up, especially if you have struggles around surrendering, around releasing control and letting go and allowing yourself to be seen in your most exposed, vulnerable, liberated, wild, freely expressed self. Like, that takes a lot of trust. That takes a lot of safety. And if you don't feel safe with this other person, or if you don't feel safe within yourself, like on a primal somatic level, it's going to be harder to orgasm, because orgasm is one of the most surrendered, opened states that we can access. So if someone is currently struggling with that, know that you're not alone. You're not broken. And the more you focus on safety, like genuinely feeling safe in your own body and creating space with this other person that you're choosing to have sex with, that is going to give you the foundation that's needed to experience more orgasm and pleasure. So much of it boils down to safety.
Thank you, Nadine. You're literally, every girl is going to be like, oh my God, this is life altering. It is life altering.
There's nothing wrong with you. Like, that's one of the biggest messages that I just want to scream from every rooftop in the world. Nothing is wrong with you. You are not broken. There's nothing to fix. So many of us were only ever exposed to quote unquote sex education through porn. And porn is not, for the most part, an accurate representation of how female sexuality operates. It very much shows us this distorted lens of intimacy. And it tells us that, for example, in a heterosexual dynamic, it shows us like, oh, a man has a boner and he approaches you, and right away you should immediately be open and receptive to his cock entering you, and you should right away be orgasming and moaning and screaming in pleasure. And that's just not realistic for the vast majority of women. That's just not how we operate. Like, our bodies on average take 30 to 45 minutes of foreplay and getting turned on and aroused and warmed up before physiologically we're even ready for penetration and our pelvic area and our labia are fully engorged with blood and aroused and ready to be entered. So we need to slow the fuck down. We need to listen to our bodies. We need to like honor the pace of our bodies and stop judging ourselves and telling ourselves we're taking too long, because that's the biggest lie in the world. You're not taking too long. You've just been fed this lie that it should happen right away. And if it's not, then there's something wrong with you. It's not true. Take your time.
Why is that so true? No, it doesn't happen if you rush it. Well, at least for me, like, it has never ended in a good way when I rush the situation. For a final question, I wanted to ask you if you could walk me through how erotic revival came to life.
Ooh, oh my gosh, thank you for asking. So erotic revival is my program. It's a 4-month somatic sexual empowerment and healing program. And the first time I ran this program was 3 years ago now. And it started out, it was called Temple of Bloom. And then over time, I did new versions of it. And now it's called Erotic Revival. But it is the accumulation of everything that I've learned, everything that I've trained in, compiled into a beautifully guided journey, step by step, through everything that I just talked about and more. So it's creating a deep felt sense of safety in your nervous system and your body. It's rewriting the narrative of your sexuality and how you relate to yourself as a sexual being. It's harnessing a sense of power. It's awakening your voice. We do a lot of deep healing work, like de-armoring and releasing tension in your body and in your vagina that you might be holding on to. There's a whole module on sacred sexuality, tantric sexuality, and energy play. So awakening the subtle energy body and so much more. So I created it for people. Like, I've done a lot of one-on-one work with private coaching clients. And of course, within these one-on-one containers, I've noticed a lot of patterns and a lot of things that a lot of people are dealing with. There's so many similarities. So I was able to create a cohesive journey that meets you where you're at. And it teaches you how to listen to your body, to claim your desires, and to connect to a felt sense of turn on, arousal, connection, and feeling at home within your body and your sexuality. So yeah, it really, it truly feels like an offering to the universe and to the collective, because I know if I had access to a journey like this many years ago, before I knew that sacred sexuality or somatic healing was even a thing, it would have radically changed my life. So I basically created the program that I wish I would have had many years ago.
We absolutely love that. For everybody that's interested in going through this journey, or that feels like they just, there's something else that they need to do. Like, the universe is calling you if you're listening to this episode, so that you can go and heal and reconnect with yourself. That sounds so beautiful, Nadine. Thank you so much for being on the podcast and answering my questions. You're so knowledgeable, and I just feel so honored that you're here with us and that you got to share with us and that we get to share with like so many other girls that are going through this, or maybe the universe will put this episode in their path so that they can heal or start their healing journey.
Thank you so much, Fernanda. This has been so beautiful. And again, like, it's such an honor to be able to have spaces where we can have these conversations. And I just want to honor the amount of courage and bravery that it takes for you to start a platform like this and have these conversations. So thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to The Sensuous, the home for real, raw conversations about sex, love, relationships, power, somatic healing, spirituality, and fully owning our human experiences. The absolute best way to stay connected and receive the most powerful teachings and offerings is by heading to bloomwithnadine.com/newsletter to sign up for my email list. It's also incredibly supportive if you take a minute to tap the follow button and leave a rating and written review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. This really helps more beautiful souls like yourself discover this content. If you resonated with the episode, definitely make sure to share it on your social media and tag me at I am Nadine Hamilton. Send it along to your friends, lovers, and family, and keep listening to more episodes. Let's spread the word about these taboo yet essential discussions. I love and appreciate you so very deeply, and I'm celebrating you for making it to the very end of a podcast episode. Congratulations. I hope you do something to honor your inner sensuous creature today. Thank you for being here.